Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. Very, very funny man Josh Gondelman joins me today to talk all about Hanukkah concerns, because this is the first night of Hanukkah. The Festival of Lights sure can make a mess, and we are going to be excited to talk about how to clean it up. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Jolie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. A pleasure to be here with you.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
It's not actually Hanukkah. They know I'm recording this before Hanukkah.
Yeah,
they know
yeah.
My secrets.
Podcast. Hollywood podcast magic. Hollywood. No, that just sounds anti-Semitic about show business. I was trying to roll in Hanukkah, but now I just sounded like I was like, the Jews control the media. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Even though I am not a person who celebrates Hanukkah, I grew up celebrating Hanukkah in a way because, and actually you'll appreciate this because it's a Boston story of mine.
Love it.
So you guys, first of all, let me tell you, you all know who Josh Gondelman is, of course, but in the event one of you does not, let me tell you who he is, and then I'll tell you why he's going to love this story that's Boston-y. Josh is a writer and comedian who is a staff writer on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And he also hails from Massachusetts, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are probably going to hear some Red Sox love today.
Yeah.
Among other things. I actually have to ask you, where in Massachusetts are you from? I think it's one of the N's.
No.
Oh.
It's one of the ums. I grew up in Stoneham.
Oh, mm-hmm. I did know that, actually.
But sometimes
Stoneham,
people lump
yeah.
it in with Needham, which is one of the ends.
I was thinking Needham.
Yep,
that was what I thought.
Because it ends with H-A-M, but mm-hmm. it's pronounced M.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I went to high school out in Framingham.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is an authentic ham.
Yeah.
Is that the only ham? Because there's like Wareham, right? W-A-R-E-H-A-M, and like Needham, Dedham. All the ums.
I don't know.
It's like a Crash Test Dummies song. Is that too niche? Am I going too specific
top? No, like, it makes my like 90s heart sing that you just
mm-hmm.
threw out that reference.
It's just,
like, so casually. That's so casually. That song was out when I was in high school out in the Framingham area. So I went to high school in Southborough.
Got it.
One of the boroughs.
My grandmother lived in Northborough for quite
okay.
some time.
Yes. Yep. A lot of the day students lived in Northborough.
Oh, got it.
Because there was like a... I was a boarding student. Mm-hmm. There was like a radius, like a 5 or 7 mile radius that you had to live in order to be a day student. Otherwise, you had to board. Anyway, that's not interesting to our listeners, but this was probably going to be pretty charming.
I'm excited.
Before I went to boarding school, because I wasn't just like birthed and then sent away. Although probably my mom would have like opted in for that
like
one.
The daughter of a Swedish baroness.
Yeah. My mom would definitely opt in on being a Swedish baroness. I went to day school in Cambridge, and it was not a very large school, and there was one kid, his name is Josh Moss, and every year at Hanukkah, Josh Moss's aunt and grandma would come into his class with an electric frying pan, and they would make latkes for the class, and they would tell us the story of Hanukkah.
My parents, my dad, I think, did that. I hope I'm giving the right parent credit. But I think
if
it was
you didn't,
dad.
You're going to find
and,
out.
Yeah, they'll find out. They've learned how to listen to podcasts,
oh,
which
boy.
In my life was like in Jurassic Park when the raptors learn how to open doors. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, clever girl.
My parents have been on this podcast.
That's
which
amazing.
Was like probably like the boldest move I've ever made on this podcast, because I was just like, I don't know what you two people are going to say. I was like, at least I have editing capacity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My parents would do the same thing, especially in first and second grade. And because I was by the time I was in public school first and second grade, and then to a very, very small private school, third, four, five, six, and then by the time I was back in seventh grade, they were like, you know, in middle school, like if my parents had come in and been like, here's how we make Jewish potatoes.
Right,
like,
yeah,
everyone
no,
would have just been like,
get out of town.
Yeah.
Get out of
like,
here.
But they would have done that. Again, not an anti-Semitic thing. They would have right. done that for anyone's parents doing any nice holiday thing.
Right. And actually, I have to say, this like little tradition did end around like probably around like the fifth grade era. But I was less. So the thing was is that on the first day of school, you always wanted to check and see if you were in Josh Moss's class.
Nice.
Because it was only his class that got the Lockies.
Yeah.
I was lucky that I was in Josh Moss's class first, second, and third grade.
Wow.
So I got three years of Lockies.
It is a great holiday
delicious.
Tradition.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
great.
You want to know when there's one Jewish person in your town, you want to know them.
You want to know
you
them.
Get,
yeah.
You get the best carbs.
Very, very good
very
carbs.
Very good carbs.
Although I'm Italian, so I don't know that I can agree that they're the best carbs.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess there are all
there
sorts
are
of good carbs.
There are rooms for many carbs.
My whole town was it was like Italian and Irish and then like mm-hmm. three Jewish people.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what are you doing the potato lockers, guy?
That was very, very good.
Everybody that I grew up with was Casey Affleck's character from Good Will Hunting.
All right, you guys. So we are going to be discussing all kinds of Hanukkah concerns. We're definitely going to be talking about Lockies because they're delicious, but they make a mess.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a bunch of other great questions. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have some new patrons to thank this week, including a few who really went so above and beyond. My mind is like so blown by the generosity of you guys. So a big, big thank you to Marta Nelson, Lisa Elias, Lydia Dunn, Steve Mock, Kyan Leggett, who pledged, you guys know I love these, the special pledges, $10.69. And as we say on this show, nice.
That's what I thought you were going to say, but I didn't yeah. want to guess. And you were going to, because I was going to be like, nice. Nice. And you would have been like, as we say on the show, thank you.
I should start doing that because they'll know. And then this one, you guys, if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably already seen this. I completely freaked out. I actually got the notification when I was at the gym and I almost choked on my big gulp. I was so excited. A huge thank you to Madison Richard for changing her pledge from $3 a month to $69.69, the nicest pledge of all. I want to say to you guys, in case you don't know this, you can change your pledge amounts and you can change them for a month at a time. And in the case of Marta, this is not going to be an ongoing pledge of $69.69 every single month, which is totally fine. And I don't at all mind if you want to do like 1 month. I think for her, this was an end of the year. She just wanted to say thank you and bring a little extra holiday cheer into my life. But just to let you guys know that you can adjust up and down. And I will not be at all offended by that. So I just want to say thank you to all my new patrons. Thank you to my existing patrons. You guys have made this year really extra special for me, and I super, super appreciate it. Speaking of holiday cheer, we gotta dive right into these questions. Now I want Lockies. Now I'm hungry.
That's a constant.
I mean, that
I
is
have.
Like,
yeah.
I do feel that way all the time. All right, so we put out, you guys, just so you know, the questions are a little shorter this week because I put out a call on Twitter for Hanukkah-specific questions. So most of the questions that I'm going to be doing in this episode are ones that we got via Twitter. So they'll sound tweetish.
A tweetish baroness. 280 characters, though, so they can get a little nuanced.
You know,
in these questions.
Having the extra characters has like been a real game changer for me in terms of, you know, I give a lot of advice on Twitter.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And now what I can do, because I used to just reply to people, and oftentimes I would have to like do two replies or three replies to get all the information for them. But now, actually, because I have more room, I can retweet their questions and give the answers so everyone gets to see that.
That's great.
And it's been great. And I think people really like it.
I think that's a
they're
really
getting
nice
a
feature.
Lot of likes.
Nice.
Like a lot, even more than like, you know, my usual BS does. Mm-hmm. So I hope people find it like servicey because that's nice for me.
I will only go over the 140 if someone asks me a question and it necessitates a long reply. I don't think I've ever like had an idea that I was like, I should tweet this and it should be over the 140 characters.
Oh, I have, but I'm a narcissist, mm-hmm. so.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm a narcissist too, for sure. But I'm like, I can get it down to 140 or it's not worth doing. You miserable sack of garbage.
I admire that restraint.
Thank
I have
you.
No such restraint. All right, let's do this first question from Mike. Mike actually is my friend, Mike.
Mike asks, Lutka oil splatter everywhere, on the stovetop, on clothing, on the walls. Also, everything in a 30-foot radius smells like fry oil. Additionally, jelly donut stains on clothing. That's, I mean, not yeah. a question, but it's like a
it's a
problem.
Tweet. Right. It's a tweet question.
Yeah. It's, so, right, yeah. right. It's like like when I Google questions, I'll just be like, shoes covered in mud.
Right.
It's just like, I'm just Googling like plot points from disaster movies, like fire everywhere.
Right. Wait, why would you Google that when you know me? Why
yes.
would
I? Well, because I don't know. I can't always, I can't bother you every time I step in mud.
Sure you can.
I'm a real slob.
Sure you can. I'm here for you, Josh.
Thank you. We were talking sneakers on Twitter, and you were very helpful.
We were talking sneakers on Twitter. I have to do another sneaker episode, actually, so I'll have you come back for that.
Please. I have lots of sneaker
that's
questions,
probably
personally.
That's probably like an April.
Great.
When like the weather starts just getting like insane in terms of shoe ruining.
Yeah. And also like if you're wearing nice ruinable shoes around New York in the winter, you don't deserve clean shoes, I think.
Yes, there's a lot of precaution that one should take.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, but let's talk about the Lutka stuff. Now I'm gonna give you a job.
Okay.
I realized that when you were reading that, when I was writing my show notes, I forgot to put in the stuff about the odor removal. So remind me.
So you
when
talk
I,
about odor
yeah,
removal.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
All right, let's start with the first thing was, what do you do when the oil splatters everywhere? And basically what you want to do, it's not super involved, but you want to use the right product for grease cleanup. So you want to use a degreaser. A couple of degreasers that I can recommend. Zep makes one called Zep Citrus Degreaser that is very, very good. Citrusolve is also very, very good. The process for using those is basically you're basically going to have to do like a kind of two-step process, but it's going to be easy. So the first thing that you're going to do, you're going to apply the product and you're going to let it sit and do its work for hours, like 5 to 15 minutes.
Sure.
So like if you're cleaning up, maybe like spray down your stovetop and your range and then do a couple of dishes. And then when the dishes are done, then you go and like you've let the product do the work for you. The reason you want that is because you want to let the degreaser break down the grease. It's just gonna make
that's
the
what it does.
Right, exactly. And it's gonna require, you're gonna find a joke. I can't find a joke in it, but you're gonna find a joke in it.
Okay.
It's gonna require less elbow grease on your part.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
It degreases not only the counters, but your own elbows. Did I do it? Did
yes,
I get
you did
there?
It, you did it, you did it.
Thank you.
I have this thing where like often I'm like so close to finding the joke and I can't quite get there, which is probably why I'm an advice columnist and you're a comedian.
Well, that's how I am with everything but jokes. I'm like, all the signs are here. I guess I'll just do the opposite thing.
That makes me feel better. So you want to let the product do the work for you. And then you want to go in and you want to wipe it away using a sponge or a rag, you know, damp sponge or rag. But then you want to do something else. And probably, like, if you're using your sponge or you're using your rag, you're probably going to have to rinse it several times throughout this process because grease is, like, so gnarly. So you're going to want to, like, rinse it. And then once you've gotten most of the grease off, go over the whole thing with dry paper towels. So you don't want to be using paper towels for the first part of this because you're just going to waste so many.
Because they'll get too saturated with grease too fast.
Yeah, and like they're just like kind of not heavy duty enough for the job. Like you actually kind of want the heft of the sponge or the rag, to be like picking this stuff up. But I find that the following this whole process up with paper towels is the thing that gets that like last little filmy residue off. So that's the thing to do for the stovetop. You know, if you have a stovetop that has removable grates, take them off. You can just wash those in hot soapy water. You can actually throw them in the dishwasher if you have a dishwasher. But yeah, you don't want to be cleaning around the grates. You want to like actually remove them. Get under there. So that's the thing for the stovetop and the vent hood. Now, if you do your Locky frying and then you go and you have your Locky fest and then you pass out from all the delicious potato goodness and all of that stuff, and the next day you have to run to work and then you have a holiday party after work and maybe you don't get around to cleaning the kitchen,
yeah,
like
now
deep
you're talking
cleaning
my language.
Yeah, then you need a deep cleaning thing. Definitely the degreasers will work, but when you get kind of that like sticky buildup when it sat for a little too long, mm-hmm. Ammonia solution is really the great thing for that. So I always have to give my ammonia rolls. I love ammonia. Love ammonia, but it is a very harsh chemical in the cleaning world. Like it's up there with bleach, which leads me to my first rule.
I know of it from like Dexter.
Yes.
Like
that's
this podcast takes a turn. It's like, okay, if you made latkes or if you murdered a serial killer, mm-hmm. and you need to dispose of him, mm-hmm. ammonia.
Yep. Yeah, ammonia. Indeed. So first rule of Ammonia Club is never mix it with bleach. Do you know what it makes when you mix ammonia and bleach together?
It's bad fumes, right?
Mm-hmm. It makes mustard gas.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like you can just do a war crime when you're trying to clean up after Hanukkah?
Pretty much, yeah. Neat trick to know about.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, neat trick is one weird way to talk about it. If you ever want to violate the Nuremberg Treaty against your neighbors.
I mean, you might. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in your building. So good old ammonia. So first rule is never mix it with bleach. Second rule, you always want to work in a well-ventilated area. So you want to open windows, turn on fans, all of that kind of good stuff. You definitely want to be wearing household gloves or disposable gloves. It will not burn you. It's not like lye, which is another kind of dextery thing. Mm-hmm. That's what melts bones.
Yep.
I know all kinds of things because I have this job.
You would make a great serial killer.
Mm-hmm, I would.
I don't know that you have the disposition, but you have the skills.
Oh, no, I have the disposition.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a great.
I'm murderous in my heart.
We're going to write this.
I should
show.
Probably edit that part out.
No, that's fine.
Actually, that would be a really good and funny and weird show.
It would be so funny, like a Dexter.
My mom
parody.
Has this. My mom has this thing, which like it makes me crazy. I just don't acknowledge it when she goes into the song and dance because it makes me so crazy. Where she thinks that there's going to be like a movie that's made based on me that's like a rom com,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, Mom, how long have you known me? There is nothing about my life that suggests rom com.
You got a rom-com mom,
and
you're disputing it.
And but that actually, now that you said that, like that's the way that
that's,
I want it.
But
to
that's
go.
Like a, that's like a dark rom-com.
I love it. Yeah,
of like you fall in love with like the detective who's been.
Oh,
who,
God, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think we're just giving away gold here.
We're gonna workshop this
okay.
off mic. Yeah,
I'm
I
into
love
it.
This. I'm very excited about this idea. Okay, so we're ventilating. We're wearing household gloves, not because it's going to melt your skin the way that lye will, but because it's just a harsh chemical that, like, you know, it'll dry your hands out. It might be irritating. So wear your gloves. And then the last thing is you, a little bit of ammonia goes a long, long way. You only need maybe one or two tablespoons up to a quarter cup to, you know, a quart or gallon of water. It depends how much you have to clean, really. But you do not need a lot of ammonia. A little bit goes a long way. There should be dilution charts on the back of the bottle that you should look at. But just know that a little bit goes a long way. But you always want to add the ammonia to the water and not the other way around, because you don't want it to splash if you pour it into your bucket and then add water and it splashes it up. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. So those are your ammonia rolls. Very easy. ammonia is great stuff to use on, you know, as I said, sort of that sticky film builds up on the hood, on the stovetop. It's also really, really good on your kitchen cabinets for getting that sticky film off.
Oh, cool.
And also very good on the walls. So Mike asked specifically about the walls. In terms of the tool that people use for scrubbing the flat vertical surfaces like the cabinets and the walls, I love an old washcloth. It's just the right size. It's got a little bit of that kind of like nubbly feel to it that will help to slough off the greasy stuff. So that's what I really like. But you can use, you know, a sponge, a different kind of rag. Blah blah blah.
But you want to stay away from paper towels
because they'll just fall apart.
Yeah.
But you can wipe down at the end. You can use a dry paper towel. Yeah. Okay. That is the walls, the stove, the sticky buildup. Let's talk about the clothes.
Okay.
Wear an apron first of all.
Always.
Actually, just wear coveralls.
Yeah.
Now that I'm writing for Jalopnik, I've like gotten so like entrenched in car culture, and so now I just believe everyone should be wearing coveralls at all times.
It's so it seems so practical.
It really is. It's like onesie for adults, like a full body bib. What could be better than a coverall? I'm into it.
Yep, a coverall is just the working person's romper.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
It's a blue collar romper.
Yeah, indeed. So if you're not going to wear coveralls, definitely wear an apron. But still, there's like always that part that the apron doesn't cover, which naturally the grease is going to find exactly that spot and leap right onto it. So I've got a couple of things that you guys can use for treating oil stains on clothing. The first is if you catch it right away, flush it with cold water and massage a little bit of dish soap into it. Dawn is particularly good on grease stains.
What about it?
It's because the surfactants in Dawn are just stronger than in other formulas. Dawn isn't necessarily the best dish soap, but it is the best dish soap on grease.
Cool.
Both for cleaning your pots and pans and for using as a stain treatment. If you need to treat a grease stain after it's happened, but before clothes go into the wash, dab a little bit of my great old pals, either Lest Oil or Pine Sol right onto the stains as a laundry pretreatment and then launder as usual. For things that are not launderable that have a grease stain on them, like maybe you've got like a cashmere sweater. This actually came up recently. One of my readers and or listeners, I don't know, she tweeted at me. She's like, thank you so much for the cornstarch tip because it just saved a gray cashmere sweater of mine. So the cornstarch tip is this. Cornstarch will absorb grease out of textiles. To use it, what you want to do is you want to lay the stained garment on a flat surface where it can stay undisturbed for 12, 24, 48 hours. You want to pile an anthill style mound of cornstarch on the stain.
We're talking about leaving dirty laundry on a pile for 24, 48 hours. This is my zone. Yes. That's the way I clean.
All right. Excellent. I like it.
I just leave dirty clothes there for 24 hours.
I like it. And then also you can blame it on me when your wife complains.
No, she's not. I left. I think I might have been drunk. I left the house for a week and I came back and I'd like left a sweatshirt on the floor next to my bed and I felt like such a jerk because I'd left it for a full week
just sitting on the floor. That sort of hurts me in my heart.
It hurt me when I got back. I was like, oh no. Like it looked like the only good excuse for me having done that would have been if it was a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt. And the only good excuse would have been if I had been raptured out of those clothes.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. But I felt like such a slob. But I think my excuse will be I was still drunk and had to catch a flight.
I'll buy it for a dollar.
Thank you.
I'll buy it for a dollar. I'm going to tell myself that too. He was in a rush and he was still drunk from the night before. Mm-hmm. I can support a party lifestyle.
Thank you.
Because as everybody who listens to this show knows, I'm a party girl.
I'm a party girl. I'm no fun most of the time. But I tried fun last week and it didn't take. No, it was.
It ended up with laundry.
I vomited out of me. It was ejected from me as if by the spirit of Satan. I had kind of a The Exorcist experience with fun.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it was. But I had a really good time up until that point. And then I was like, well, I'm done with fun for this year.
That's okay. I feel the same way because I hate the holidays. So I'm also done with fun for this year.
Really?
Oh, I hate the holidays. They make me so depressed.
Do you travel or do you lay low?
No, I generally lay pretty low this year. For Thanksgiving, I went to LA to be with my best friend and his husband and a big group of our friends who we used to all do Thanksgiving in New York. And we've all kind of dispersed across the country now. So we all gathered in LA this year. It was great. It was a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. One of the best I can remember. And then this year for Christmas, I convinced my parents to come to New York for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice.
Yep. So I kind of won the holidays this year, actually.
I used to. This is real. Until like 3 years ago, I would go home every year on Christmas. I would go for Thanksgiving and then I'd go back for Christmas about a month later. And a couple of years ago, I realized, I was like, wait a minute, I'm Jewish. I don't have to do that. And instead, because I like to see my family, but it's so much nice. My sister's birthday is in December, so I always go back another time in December to celebrate her birthday, and I miss Christmas travel and Christmas stress. And it's so much better. I feel so good. And I love New York around Christmas.
I
just lay low and like hang out with my wife, and we like watch movies and I get takeout, and it's a real blast.
Yeah. New York is pretty great during Christmas. I will say that. Even though I'm a Grinch, I even can admit that New York is pretty great at Christmas time. All right, wait, we're not even onto Christmas yet.
We're
still at Hanukkah. I still got to solve Hanukkah before I can solve Christmas.
So we were talking about the cornstarch tip.
Cornstarch tip, right? So you're gonna leave this thing for 12, 24, 48 hours. After that time, you're gonna gingerly pick up the whatever sweater, let's say. And you're going to shake it out over the trash can, kind of brush it away. You might need to get like a slightly damp like rag or sponge to get all the last of the residue off. But what the cornstarch will have done is it will have basically sucked all of the oil up out of the fires into the cornstarch. It really does work. It's a great little trick.
Quick breakfast on the go.
Right, exactly. Okay, now I don't even need to have you remind me because I remember.
Of the odor control.
So a couple of things you guys can do. About the odor of frying oil. First thing is, super, super easy, low-key way is just to set out a bowl or glass or whatever of white vinegar. It's not going to nuke the odors immediately, but over the course of a few hours, it'll absorb the odors out of the air. So that actually is what I do in my own home. I just always have a bowl of vinegar out. Just because like
for guests,
yeah, it's like a little, what do they call the things that you stick your fingers in to rinse them off, the fancy dinners?
I don't think I've ever done anything that fancy.
It'll come to me.
A finger bidet.
Finger bowl. Thank you. That's what
okay,
it is. Yeah,
close.
It is a finger bidet actually, but yeah, it's called a finger bowl. Yeah, it's like a little finger bowl of vinegar, for my guests when they come over. So you can do that. You can also, there are a bunch of sprays, like don't use Febreze or anything like that. Those are garbage. They're not going to work. They're not going to do the thing. You need a spray odor eliminator. Two that are really, really good, or actually I'll give you three that are really, really good, three brands. One, there's Osium. Osium is hard to find. You're basically going to have to order it off Amazon. It's a little on the pricey side, but the reason it's on the pricey side is because it works better than everything else. Osium is the thing that stoners use to get the smell of weed out of their like home and etc. So you know it works.
Oh, the ones that I knew never had Osium. They just had freaking out and opening the window.
Right. Yeah, which doesn't work.
Yeah,
doesn't work. Another two brands that are much easier to find. You can get them. You can find both at Home Depot. I think Odoban is not sold at Lowe's, but I definitely know it's sold at Home Depot. So one is called Odoban. They make spray-style odor eliminators. They make canister-style odor eliminators. They're all really good. They work really well. The other one is Zep, the ones that make the I love Zep. I love, like, every Zep product. I'm, like, really just super into them. And actually, I took a video. Patrons, I owe you guys a video. I took a video of me and my best friend, Matt. Matt is the compulsive lid to my obsessive pot. Mm-hmm. We're like very, very similar in our craziness about cleaning stuff. We went to the Home Depot together when I was in LA, and I took it's about a 4-minute video of us in one single aisle at the Home Depot just losing our minds over every cleaning product. Just like going, we were just going nuts. So patrons, I have to share that with you. The Zep products, we were really losing our minds over because we really love
really
them.
Good.
Yeah, they're really good. So Zep makes a whole bunch of odor eliminators. They make it, even though it's branded as for smoke, it'll work on a lot of other things. The smoke odor eliminator is really, really good. So that's just a spray. All right, jelly donut, super easy. The first thing you got to know about jelly, if you get a blurb of jelly on your shirt or your pants or whatever, the first thing you need to do is you need to scoop the jelly off. Don't rub it. If you like have a blob of jelly sitting on your pant leg and you take a napkin and smear it, you're just going to spread it further. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to get either a spoon or a butter knife, and you want to get under the blob and scoop it up and off of the fabric. That's step number one. That's like a really, really crucial step. That's actually true of like anything kind of blobby.
Is scoop.
Yeah,
scoop, don't smear.
That's right. Exactly. So like the opposite of what you want to do to a bagel.
Yes.
Right? Because you never want to scoop a bagel, and you do want to smear it.
No.
Are you anti-scoop bagel?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course you are, because you're Jewish.
I feel like just don't, you don't eat the bagel.
Get an English muffin.
Yeah. Or just have half a bagel. I mean, I don't want to tell anyone how
to
eat.
Or get a bialy.
Yes,
get a bialy.
Right. That's what you want.
Bialys are delicious.
Yeah,
too.
But I just
love a bialy.
And I will say, too, it's not like a body shaving thing. It's like, what a waste of a bagel. Because there's no one, like, you know, there's the famous Seinfeld with the muffin tops and nobody wants to eat the bottoms.
Uh-huh.
Like, even less desirable than a muffin bottom on its own is what has been scooped out of a bagel.
Bagel innards.
Yeah, bagel guts. Bagel giblets.
Agreed.
Nobody wants that on its own.
No one wants that. Oh my God, I'm never going to get the image of bagel giblets out of my mind.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so we're gonna scoop the jelly off. Then if you can take whatever it is that you have gotten the jelly on off of your person,
okay,
which is not always like possible in that moment. But if you can, take it off and flush it with cold running water from the back to the front. The reason you want to work from the back to the front is that you want to push the jelly away from the fabric rather than back through the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then once you've flushed it away, if you've got dish soap or hand soap, you can like massage a little bit of that into the stain and keep flushing and kind of work the fabric against itself, and it should come right out. If you can't do all of that like in the moment, which
right.
is completely fine.
If you can't
fine,
just get nude.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you just can't.
Well, yeah. As we're learning in 2017, sometimes you're not supposed to take off your pants. That's an important lesson this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. It really is, actually. It's remarkable that it took us 2017 years
plus all
to get
of,
there.
Plus all of the
plus
the
all of the BC stuff.
Yeah, but I guess there were fewer pants back then.
There weren't a lot of pants, in fairness to them. So, yeah. Okay, so you can't do all that. When you finally can get yourself to, you know, a place where you can take off the item of clothing,
yep,
do that whole thing, and treat the stain with a good liquid laundry detergent. I want to recommend strongly Tide Ultra Stain Release because it is the best of the Tides. The other thing is, if it's a very, very stubborn stain, because red things do tend to be among the most stubborn in the stain world. It's red, purple, and blues. Those are the three bad ones. Wine Away will work. Good old Wine Away. I had a discovery thanks to a listener, or actually it was a Twitter follower, I think, because I was tweeting at her. She tweeted to me that she got pomegranate juice on a workout top. And
wow, that is a problem that I cannot relate to on literally any level.
Literally any level. Like, I was like, I can't imagine drinking pomegranate juice at the gym. Like,
yeah, I mean, anything.
It's and
like,
I'm someone who drinks a big gulp of Diet Coke, yeah, on the treadmill every single day.
That's preposterous.
It's crazy.
That's really bizarre.
It's incredibly
I've never
bizarre.
Heard of that, and I only say this with love.
I know.
That's
I know.
Bonkers.
I love I have Boston love for 7-Eleven is a thing.
When you said big gulp, mm-hmm, I almost made fun of you, but I was like, oh, you must just get a big gulp and refill it with water for environmental purposes. You drink Diet Coke,
uh-huh,
on the treadmill.
Uh-huh. Every single day.
That's like what like a mom in the 50s would do,
uh-huh,
until you're like, you know what I mean? That's like when people would be like, well, I drink beer when I lift weights.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. Actually, it gets worse. You're going to die.
I know I'm going to die.
I'm L-I-V-I-N right now.
Yep.
So I leave my house around lunchtime. So I work in the morning. Obviously, mm-hmm, you know, I work from home. And I'm a morning writer.
Me too.
And so I save like, you know, email and all that BS that I have to do for the afternoon when I'm like not really at my peak in terms of writing. So I write in the morning, and then around noon, 1, 2, whenever sort of I'm wrapping up, I leave the house. By then I'm starving. because I've grazed, because I'm also a freelancer who has like no food in the house. I play that game, are you lunch, all the time.
Yeah.
I get a dollar slice. I eat it on the way from the dollar slice joint to the 7-Eleven. By the time I've gotten to 7-Eleven, I finish the dollar slice. I get the big gulp. I walk to the gym. I get on the treadmill and I do like an hour of cardio while I drink my big gulp. Yes, this is my life every single day.
This sounds fictitious, but I believe you.
Just make a note for the movie.
I remember that. Yes, that goes in the movie for
sure.
There's
some detail that has to be in there. Like maybe I like smuggle out body parts in the big gulp cups or something.
This sounds almost like a second person. Like it's so, you're like, I'm very fastidious about cleaning, but also when I work out, I eat pizza.
I eat garbage. Yeah. I eat total garbage. Yeah. And I also love garbage potato chips.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Meat chips. Like I call them meat chips. I like the prime rib flavor.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
I'll eat, like when people go, that sounds disgusting. I'll try any snack food because it's all just
it's all
fake.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's all fake. It's all disgusting. Yeah. It's like, who cares? Yeah, I'll try that. Like any weird food combination, I will eat.
Yeah.
But the weirder, the more enticed I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends. I have certain flavors that I'm just like, nope, not going there. That's another podcast.
Sure.
I have a fantasy podcast.
Okay.
About. That's a potato chip cataloging and review podcast.
You should do that too.
Yeah. I have a name for it and everything. And I have people I've talked about. I legit want to do this.
Is the name Chips Ahoy?
No, but oh my God, that's really good. That's actually maybe better than the...
No, because that's already a thing. The SEO would be terrible.
Yeah. So the name I came up with was Chip Chat.
Love Chip Chat.
Chip Chat's good, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm into this idea. Don't steal my idea, you guys. I'll sue you. My parents are lawyers. okay, back to our jelly donut thing. So yes. Let me finish the story about the pomegranate juice and the gym shirt.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, I'm going to pretend so that I can apply it to my life that it was someone who spilled bourbon onto sweatpants. Go on.
Okay. Yes. That also sounds right. So she tweeted me and I was like, I got to tell you, that's a really hard one because pomegranate is one of the stainiest substances in the world. And I was like, listen, it's going to be really, really tricky. But I kind of think that Wine Away might work. Try it and see. And a couple days later, sure enough, I get a tweet back from her. And she's like, Jolie, it worked. So
amazing.
Wine Away works on red wine. It works on cranberry sauce, cranberry juice, all of that stuff. And now we know it works on pomegranate. I suspect it probably also works on blueberry.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So anyway, so there is our answers to Mike's questions. This is a good time for us to take a quick break. Josh and I will be right back with more about your Hanukkah concerns. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm joined by Josh Gondelman. This has been great. This is so fun.
Oh, thank you. I've been having a really great fun time. As my voice cracks. we've been
talking about Hanukkah and murder and big gulps.
Hanukkah, murder, and big gulps.
Which seems right.
Yeah.
all right. So we've got a question. This was not Hanukkah specific, but there's a detail in it that is kind of Hanukkah specific. And I also want you to note that I'm wearing a thematic outfit today.
Okay.
I'm wearing a blue and white sparkly sweater because I was like, well, I have to wear Hanukkah colors.
Yep, the Festival of Lights.
Next week is my Christmas episode. I'll be wearing red and green for that, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. Okay, so this isn't this is not specific to Hanukkah, but it addresses a thing that comes up at Hanukkah all the time because, delicious though it may be, Hanukkah gelt is super melty.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, little tiny fingerprints, chocolatey fingerprints, get left everywhere after a hot and heavy game of dreidel.
That's actually how you're going to get brought down in the movie. You're going to leave a gelt fingerprint. Yes, I'm going to leave a gelt fingerprint.
I love it. Okay, well then, the detective is going to have to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Because there has to be a reason why I'm dreidling. I haven't played dreidel in, I mean, since I was like a little, like grammar school age.
Yeah, I mean, it's
why
not.
Why am I not being invited to play dreidel anymore?
I'll tell you.
It's not like Mahjong.
It's less popular with adults. So yeah. You just kind of have to keep knowing Jewish children.
Yeah. It is kind of a tedious game. It's not like the most fun game.
It's like
in the
playing
world.
War. Like there's not a lot of strategy, right? It just kind of goes on forever until you start eating the actual playing chips, which that's unlike war.
That yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm going to have you read this this question from Linda about chocolate stains. I'm going to talk to you about getting chocolate stains out of things.
Linda asks, "Jolie, help. I was hanging out at a friend's house and got a couple of dark chocolate stains on her beautiful white-blue couch. What do I do?" Easy. Linda is the pseudonym of Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
There's a lot of O's in yeah. do, is why I said that.
All right, super easy. This is like the fastest answer in the world.
Perfect.
Shout laundry pre-treatment spray.
Get out of the couch, goddammit. Yes. Sorry, that is the worst.
That was the best. That's the best. Shout laundry pre-treatment spray is like capital T, the thing for chocolate. Now, how did I discover this? Because I was eating chocolate in bed one night. Mm-hmm. Yes, I sure was. Watching some crap on Bravo, no doubt, knowing me. And I have, I have all white bed linens and I'm like super, super fussy about my bed linens. I'm very, very like bed proud. And I must have dropped like a little like flake or two of chocolate that I didn't notice. Mm-hmm. And I woke up the next morning and there were like a few little chocolate stains on my white duvet. And I was like, oh my God, no. And I happen to have a bottle of Shout near my bed. Here's another just like random tip. Yeah, because I just keep Shout like my bedside table. It's like condom, lube, Shout, like normal,
sure.
Right? Normal.
That's like, look, I have a clean bill of health. Also, my linen's incredibly clean. I want not only safe sex, but I want tidy sex.
No, behind my laundry hamper,
yep.
I stash bottles of my laundry pre-treatment spray so that when I take something off, if it's been stained, the products I need are right back there and I can just grab them, spray, and throw it in the hamper.
Yeah,
it makes life very easy. It's a very good life hack.
That's a great
life hack. It's one of my best life hacks, actually, I have to say.
That's a really good life hack.
So because of that, the Shout was like right there and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just spray it. So I sprayed a little on and I just rubbed the fabric against itself. And the chocolate went away.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. And there's actually a Facebook Live of me doing this. I took a Hershey's bar and like smeared it all over a white t-shirt, sprayed it with Shout. I had no running water because it was a phase. I was like in a conference room at the Hearst building. I had no running water. Just like rubbed it, and it came right out. Like it is amazing. So Shout is a thing. Now that's for, you know, a fabric that you can rub against itself. You obviously can't do that with a couch. So what you want to do with the couch...
You need to get a second couch, rub it against the first couch.
Exactly. So actually what you do want to do instead is you want to spray the Shout on it and then you want to get an old toothbrush or like an old nail brush or if you have a dedicated laundry brush, which is a real thing that exists in the world.
Sure.
You just want to get it a little bit damp. You don't want to get it super wet, but just a little bit damp. And then you want to just rub the brush on the Shout and the stain and it will agitate and it will like lift right up. So that's what you do. There you go. And the thing about the question was that the couch was blue and white.
Yes. Oh, got it. Okay. The... And that's why it's themed with the shirt.
Yes, exactly.
And themed with Hanukkah.
Exactly.
And then chocolate.
Right.
Perfect.
Because exactly. I wanted to make sure that I talked about that because I haven't gotten questions about Hanukkah gelt specifically.
No, but that's real.
But I lived that, right, with Josh Moss. Like, that stuff is melty.
It is melty.
That stuff is super melty. It's really delish. In that cheap chocolate kind of nostalgia way, it's
yes.
delish.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like want to eat it more than once a year, but like once a year if someone gives me it like a Hanukkah gout, I'm like, ooh.
Right. But it's not good like Valentine's Day chocolate.
No. No. Definitely
Here's some
not.
Gold chocolate coins.
Here's some kind of crappy chocolate that may be a little like chalky and white by now.
Like, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it gets that kind of like
powdery, like yeah, it disintegrates a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, now we got to do the big guns. We got to talk about the menorahs.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about the menorahs. So we got a bunch of menorah questions. I picked two of them. I'm actually going to have you read both of them at once.
Sure.
And then I'm going to talk about the different methods that you have for removing wax from menorahs and sort of how to figure out which method is going to be the right one given the like makeup of your particular menorah.
Got it. So Allie asks, how do I get the wax off my menorah when I already tried freezing it and it's still waxy? And Emily asks, real quick, get wax off a ceramic menorah via...
Yeah. Okay. So there are basically two ways that you want to go with wax in any kind of situation where you have wax on something that you don't want it on, whether it's like you knocked over a candle and it got on the floor or it got on the curtains or it got on your clothes or it's on your menorah or whatever it's on.
I have a glass menorah at home, which is kind of a Jewish adaptation of Tennessee Williams.
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's going to go into exactly what I want to talk about in terms of making the choice of which way you go with all of this. So basically, the two ways you want to go are either you apply heat or you apply cold.
So it's kind of a 180.
Yeah, it's, exactly. And which one you choose really depends on both the material you're talking about and the design that you're talking about. So if you have Josh's glass menorah, you can stick that right in the freezer. What will happen is the wax, as it freezes, will contract and you can just like pop it right off. But that's easy on glass because I assume it's not like ridged or like etched or ornamental.
Smooth.
It's very like smooth, right?
Yeah.
So the problem is probably with Allie's menorah is that the reason that it's still waxy is it probably is a more like ridged or etched or whatever like intricate designed menorah, and the wax is kind of getting stuck in the little like grooves basically. If you want to go the heat route, you also want to consider there are basically two different ways that you can apply heat to a menorah.
One, you can... candles. Got it.
That is actually not one of the ways,
okay.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
Blowtorch, actually, is a third way. I'm just realizing. Add that to the script. There's got to be a blowtorch element. Yeah.
Oh, there's a blowtorch.
So basically, when you're talking about a menorah specifically, there are the two ways you can apply heat to a menorah are hair dryer or boiling.
Okay.
Now, hair dryer is ideal. That's gonna be much better. Boiling is an option, but in order to boil a menorah, first of all, you're gonna need a lobster pot. Second of all,
this is for all the New England Jews,
just like exactly.
up in Bangor, Maine. Like, my menorah is covered in friggin' wax, guy. Also, real quick, circling back.
Esther, get the lobster pot.
Get the lobster pot. The menorah's covered in wax again. Your parents are coming over for Hanukkah. I will also say my dad worked in construction for 40 years. I say this to defy the stereotype, but I don't know a single Jewish person who owns a blowtorch.
I don't think I do either.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of Jewish people. I mean, because not only did I go to this, like, you know, Cambridge-y private school, which mm-hmm. was, you know, probably like, I don't know, a third Jewish. I mean, I spent all of middle school at bar and bat mitzvahs. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had very cute Betsy Johnson outfits for the whole.
Aww, that's cute.
for the whole 2 years. But I also went to Barnard.
Right.
So, I mean,
Jews aplenty.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I have to be the one to point out the number of Jews.
Right. Yeah.
It goes down a lot smoother, and I'm like, oh, there are a lot of Jews there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for taking.
No
that
problem.
Line.
Yeah.
Can't say that.
I'll dive on that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. yeah. Good old Barnard, man. What a trip.
Barnard Mitzvah. Did anyone call it that?
No, but they should have. Yeah. Josh, you're so good.
Thank you. I would have nailed them on day one and then transferred.
It's a women's college, so
yeah, they would have kicked me out very quickly.
Definitely had to transfer.
Yeah, they would not have allowed me there. I went to Brandeis, so I also know what it's like to go to college around Juice.
Yes, yes, you sure do. Mm-hmm. Man, you didn't go far from home.
I didn't go far from home.
I was like, get me out of the Bay State.
I was happy. I was happy to be within driving distance. I also have like parents who are very respectful of boundaries.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was not a problem.
It wasn't a problem.
They're very kind, and they like to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like gonna drop by unannounced. Like
they're not overbearing.
The sitcom nightmare
way.
Of like, hey, I brought over sheets. What? Well, what are you're kissing a girl?
Yeah.
Like,
that's lucky. Yeah. I mean, my thing was just like it wasn't that I wanted to be away from my parents. It was I just wanted to be away from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted something different. Because if you haven't noticed, guys, I'm a little different.
Not me. I'm drinking Dunkin' Donuts
legit. I know.
I have like the heart of a townie.
I meant to mention that actually when I was introducing you that you brought a Dunk's iced coffee with you. That's the thing. I'm a wicked devotee of the Dunks, and like so in that regard, I still have the heart of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Red Sox fan. I wear the pink Sox cap even. Like I go that that girl. But yeah, I needed to be out. All right, back to our menorah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hair dryer boiling. So we've got
lobster pot.
We've got Esta with the lobster pot.
Esta, get the lobster pot.
It's just boiling is just not going to be that realistic for most of you. The other problem is then you've got to get this thing out of boiling water, so you're going to need like tongs. Like this is basically like turned into canning,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't think it's the best way. But I mentioned that it's an option because I mentioned that it's an option. It's out there. The hair dryer is really
to get the hair dryer instead. Same guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still dressed like the perfect storm.
That's exactly what I was picturing too. And then I was alternately picturing Fred Gwynne in Pet Sematary.
Like Esta, do I look like Mark Wahlberg in my slicker?
Just to bring it back to the coveralls, I was imagining.
Oh
like
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah,
like
yeah. Okay, I see it. I see it. Is slicker regional? It must be, right?
Oh, I don't know. There are things about me that are so, so like masshole that I don't even know they're masshole. Here's a good one for you. The word rigmarole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until like, I'm not kidding you, like 3 or 4 years ago. I'm in my 40s. And I'm a writer. I thought that it was spelled R-I-G-A-R.
I pronounced
it rigmarole because I thought that I had been hearing it just with a I thought there was an R
in there.
I know
exactly. I've done that with words too where because, I've like replaced an R that I assumed had been improperly taken away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Yeah.
But so, I don't know if slicker for raincoat is regional or if it's just nautical.
I don't know. You know what? Let's Google it.
Sure.
I want to find out now.
Bubbler regional.
Bubbler is definitely regional. And I use Bubbler.
Me too.
And you know, it's funny because I don't have a Boston accent. I mean, I have a Northeast accent, obviously. But yeah, there are just some words that I say, like, you know, I would never say it's a bubbler.
Right.
That
but that's because
dorky.
The only people who say bubbler say Bubbler.
Or us.
Do you,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I have a vaguely Canadian accent, people think. Like,
oh,
nobody
man.
Ever guesses where I'm from.
I wouldn't think that.
Everybody's like, are you? People guess like Midwest a lot. But I think that's also my demeanor.
That's probably your demeanor. Yeah. Because you're so nice. Slicker, regional term for raincoat.
Yeah. That's what I would.
Is that the right search term? Isn't this fascinating listening to someone Google something on a hot mic?
She's a Googler.
I'm a Googler.
Esta, Google slicker. Why? What did it say?
Nothing. I'm laughing at Google slicker. No, I don't think it is regional.
Okay, national.
I think it's national. Because it's British.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think I'd have to do a deeper dive into it. I'll look into it, actually.
Okay.
Because now I'm curious.
I think I said it to someone, and they were like, what's that?
What?
But maybe they're just from a place, like maybe they're from LA where there's like not a lot of rain.
That may be the case.
That may be the case.
We'll find it. Anyway, listeners, if you know the answer, you let me and Josh know.
Yeah. And if your name is Esther, all the better.
God, I really hope it's going to be an Esther. All righty. So here's
Sarah.
Here's the thing with the hair dryer method. That's actually what Emily used. So Emily tweeted at me and she was like, how do I get the wax off a ceramic menorah? And because it was ceramic, excuse me, I'm getting froggy. Because it was ceramic, I didn't want her to put it into the freezer because I was afraid and I was like, oh, I think your best bet is going to be just to turn the hair dryer on it and then wipe it down with dry paper towels mm-hmm. when the wax starts softening. And that's what she did. She literally tweeted back within like 5 minutes with a picture of it looking perfect and clean. It was a Jonathan Adler menorah. It was really cool. And she was like, God, that was so satisfying. And I was like, yes, I got another
one.
That's
great.
Yeah.
My parents, like night after night, my dad would take to it with like a – some kind of like a lathe or something, just like a metal tool, and would just scrape it down. But I think that was like its own satisfaction.
And someone else tweeted at us and was like, isn't the picking off of the wax like the whole point? Isn't that the fun part?
I think that's like in the Torah.
Yeah. It's like,
and you pick off the wax with a toothpick.
Okay, so that actually brings me right into some preventative things that you can do. And a product that another one of our Twitter followers turned us on to. So the first thing is if you want to really think about the material that your menorah is made of and whether or not this is a thing you want to be putting on it. But if you coat your menorah before the beginning of Hanukkah with cooking spray, then the wax will just actually slide right off.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's like a thing you can do. And then you won't even have to do any of this cleaning stuff. But the last thing to mention is that one of our Twitter followers tweeted at us about a product called Wax Off Remover Spray.
Real mature.
that you can use, that you can spray on, and it will like remove all the wax. I meant to write it down and I forgot because I think you came in right as I was finishing my notes. but it was on a website that had like just like a crazy, funny, punny Jewish joke name.
Huh.
I can't remember what it was now. I've failed.
No.
I failed.
You're doing great.
Okay.
Wax off is enough puns.
Wax off is pretty good. All right, you guys. So we, we've gone long.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, it's great when we go
long.
It
was mostly just me shouting at a fictitious wife of a lobsterman. The lobsterman's wife is also my prestige novel coming out next year.
I mean, it's great. That's the fun of the show is that, like, cleaning is such an odd thing. Well, first of all, we all have to do it. And it's so relatable. But, like, it's so weird the way that it, like, lets us go off onto tangents. And, like, that's why the show is fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and also, if the show wasn't fun, man, who would listen to
it? What a slog.
Like, who would, like, want to listen to just, like,
I guess the people
straight, dry cleaning advice?
Yeah.
You gotta make it fun.
You gotta make it
fun for people. A lot of people listen to the show while they're doing their cleaning, and so I like to think of it, as like entertainment for them to like as they're like.
Oh, what
going
a perfect synergy!
Yeah. all right. So speaking of perfect synergy, as fate would have it, I got a really great reader tip yesterday that I wanted to share. That is in follow up to the last episode about dishwashing, in which I talked about how to polish silver as part of the last segment on that. And it was great timing because a lot of menorahs are made of silver or silver plate. And so I wanted to share this tip from Beth. She writes, "Hey, Jolie, just finished the dishwashing episode. Love. Here's a tip. I keep my table silver in drawers lined with silver cloth. And every time I get a package with one of those little desiccant packets in it, I toss it into my silver drawer. I think keeping the humidity out helps me go longer between polishings. Best Beth."
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, so basically what she's doing is she's taking those little silica packets that you get in like your shoes.
I always just eat them.
Are they delicious?
No, I mean, they're not, no, but it says don't eat.
It says don't eat, so you can't resist.
I don't take life advice from packets. If you knew better than me, you wouldn't be a packet.
You wouldn't be a packet.
No, you'd be a pouch or better.
So that's what she means, is those little silica packets. And that's genius, because the thing is, when we were talking about the silver, the reason that it has to be polished as frequently as it does is because that which is in our air causes tarnishing. And so if you can store the silver in as much of an airtight space as you can and without humidity, the longer you can go without it getting tarnished. So that's just a really clever little tip.
I keep mine in space.
Smart.
That's my cleaning tip. Store your silver in the cold black void of space.
Is that where you also are hosting your formal gatherings?
Yes.
You're using your silver?
Yeah, cold black tie void formal.
I'll look forward to being invited to next year's. Mm-hmm. You guys, on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. This was so fun, Josh.
I had a blast. Thank you for having me, Jolly.
I was so thrilled you could be here, and I'm excited to bring you back. I'm excited to work on this movie idea that we have. I think it's a winner.
Called Windexter.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was really good.
Thank you.
What a pleasure it has been to have you. And I want to say happy Hanukkah to all of my listeners who celebrate, and even the ones who don't. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, take that.
Go have some lakis and some Hanukkah gelt, because it's delicious. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.